week we read about the parsha of tzitzis, the mitzvah of if one is wearing a four-corning garment, one is obligated to put fringes, tzitzis on. And as well, the Torah says, v'nosnu al tzitzis ha-kanof p'tzil t'cheles. And the Torah tells us, part of the mitzvah of tzitzis is to put on a t'cheles. T'cheles, as we'll see, means a blue thread. So clearly there's a biblical mitzvah to wear tzitzis, but to fulfill the mitzvah completely, ideally one needs to wear the white strings and some blue strings. A debate on how many of each, that maybe we'll get into, maybe we won't. So the question is in 1887, Rev Gershon Henoch Liner, a.k.a. the Radzina Rebbe, he was interested in Mehera, like many people, Mehera Yibana Beis HaMikdash, that the temple should be rebuilt shortly. And he wanted to make sure, once, because part of doing the work in the temple, the Kohanim have to wear the appropriate garments. And that entails putting tcheles on the garment of the Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol, etc. So therefore, he said, what's going to happen? The Mashiach will come, we'll have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, then we'll start looking for tcheles. What are we doing? Let's start looking now. So when we find it, so once the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, we'll be able to do things right away. So that's what, so he was interested. And in a, so for the Beis HaMikdash, we have to wait for the temple, but there's another mitzvah, a daily mitzvah of tzitzis we have every day. Well, we don't have to wait. If we have tcheles, then we could wear them even today. So the Mishnah says in Menachos, the talks about whether the blue thread and the white thread, the tcheles and the lavan, are they an obstacle in performing the mitzvah, or they're two independent commandments? In other words, if I don't have the blue thread, does that mean I'm doing nothing? In other words, the question is, if I don't have tcheles and just wear the white thread, is that a zero? Or no, it's not a zero. It's a lot. It's good, but it's not the ultimate. I mean, you get a biblical commandment, but the ideal is to do both. So the general assumption is like the latter. However, there is an opinion in the former, known as the great Baal Hamor, one of the earlier commentators. In fact, the Ramban, Nechmanides, wrote about the Baal Hamor. He never wore tzitzis in his life. He never wore a talis. Why? Because his opinion was, there's no mitzvah today. If there's no tcheles, there is no mitzvah. So why should I walk around with, if it's the winter, maybe I'll keep myself warm. If in the summer, who needs tzitzis? It's so hot. So that was the opinion of the Baal Hamor. And in fact, Rav Soloveitchik, he said, I can't believe it. What? The Baal Hamor wasn't buried in a talis? Like, that's what bothered him the most. We know the custom to be buried in a talis. You tell me he wasn't buried in a talis? As I like to say, most of the Jewish people follow the opinion of the Baal Hamor. I think most Jews, it's safe to say, do not wear tzitzis today. So I'm assuming they're going with the opinion of the Baal Hamor. We have many chassidim in the Baal Hamor. We'll leave it at that. Jeff, you have a question?
Yes. Look, could it be that if you don't have the blue, it's doing worse than nothing? It's not just nothing, it's worse because you're wearing a four-cornered garment without the proper thing.
It could be. That's what we'll discuss that possibility, and that I'll discuss right now. There was the Briskers have a custom, and it goes back to the Maharam Rutenberg, one of the earlier commentators, the Rush's Rebbe. They say he did not wear tzitzis on Shabbos. Why wouldn't he wear tzitzis on Shabbos? So they say, you know why? Because he was concerned the Baal Hamor was right. Let's assume the Baal Hamor is right. So he's worried about carrying on Shabbos. If he was in a Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, he would not wear tzitzis because he was afraid the strings might be considered not part of the garment. The beged itself, it's part of the garment. But they used to put tzitzis on the shirt, so therefore these tzitzis weren't serving a purpose, so he's concerned to carry. So that's some briskers do not wear tzitzis, because that's for a Shabbos reason. We'll get to another potential problem, maybe it is, if you don't have, you know, if you wear it without the tcheles. But the simple shot we'll see is, well, at this point we'll assume, is there's no problem wearing tzitzis without the tcheles, but we'll, you know, but the briskers, and that's the general custom, people wear tzitzis today, even on Shabbos without a Erev, so, but we'll discuss that a little later in the show. So they point out, so that's the Baal HaMor. So the question is, so according to the Baal HaMor, and those, you want to make sure you get the tcheles, because if you don't have the tcheles, there's no mitzvah. So the way most assume, okay, it's nice to have the tcheles, but if I don't have it, I still have my mitzvah of tzitzis. But if you learn like the Baal HaMor, you have more incentive to find tcheles, because right now you're not getting a mitzvah, an everyday mitzvah of tzitzis, of talis. So the Radzvina Rebbe, he thought, he did a lot of research, he thought he found the tcheles. In other words, the chilazon. We know that the tcheles, the dye, comes from this chilazon. We don't know what chilazon is. So he said, I found the chilazon. He says, it's a cuttlefish. And I did different tests, and now it turns out the color of blue. I'm in. I finally, and to this day, Radzvina Hasidim wear this. If you're in Israel or wherever you are, and you see Radzvina Hasidim, they are still wearing the tcheles of Rav Gershon Henoch Leiner, even though other people have said we have refuted that opinion. But you follow, if you're a chassid, you follow your Rebbe. So it goes like this. So we'll come back to why they refuted him in a second. But he went ahead and said, I have it. He sent letters around to different Gedolim to respond. Are you in agreement, disagreement? What do you think? So one of the people who he was in correspondence with was Rav Yitzchak Halevi Herzog, who was, I think at that point, he might have been chief rabbi in Ireland, and then he eventually became chief rabbi in Eretz Israel. He was the first chief rabbi once the state of Israel began. Rav Kook was the chief rabbi before 48. But so he was the first chief. So he wrote, he had a correspondence with the Radzina Rebbe, and he said, you're wrong. He said, you were duped by a chemist. The reason why you're getting this blue color is not because of what the natural color of the cuttlefish, they put a chemical in. You can put a chemical into anything and make the color turn blue. So he said, "You, sorry, pal, I know you put a lot of work in, but you duped and it's not the right." So Rav Herzog had his own opinion. See, he thought, the Radzina Rebbe thought it was a fish. Rav Herzog thought it was a snail, even though his opinion was rejected as well. We don't, because in the early 1990s, they found a different snail called the Murex trunculus, where many believe, as we'll discuss, that is the real tcheles. But that's not, so we went through different stages. They thought it was the cuttlefish, then Rav Herzog thought it was a different snail, and the early 1990s, when they were scuba diving, I don't know where, a lot or somewhere, and then they claimed to find the chilazon, the Murex trunculus. So we'll come back to that in a minute. So back to the Radzina Rebbe. So he wrote it. He said, I think it's the cuttlefish. What say you? Please, I want to hear some response. Tell me your pro, con. Tell me why you think I'm right or wrong. So someone in the name of the Beis Halevi from the Soloveitchik dynasty responded and said to the Radzina Rebbe, he wrote in the Sefer, it's written up, he said, you know what? If you would have told me this cuttlefish didn't exist before, or we didn't know where it was, something new happened during your time that we didn't know before. This cuttlefish, all our great Gedolim before you, our parents, grandparents, all, everyone knew about this cuttlefish for hundreds of years. And all of a sudden you wake up now and tell me it's it? the fact that other, unless you tell me why maybe new tech, give me a new reason why it, give me a new reason why that's something that you found it and they didn't. And since you can't give me one, it's a de facto tradition that it's not it. If in 200 years they knew about the cuttlefish and they didn't say it was the tcheles, then we have a tradition that it's not the tcheles. And therefore he said, if you would give me a good reason why this is new information, and then I checked it out, I'd be the first one to wear it, perhaps. But it's easy to say when you don't think it's it. But I think you are wrong. We have a tradition that it is not the cutoff. That's one version of the Beis Halevi. In other words, in theory, it's possible to find Tcheles today, but this isn't it. The second opinion of the Beis Halevi, or the second version, I should say, he only said one, is from the Soloveitchik family themselves. Rev Soloveitchik from Boston, all the Briskers near Henry in Yerushalayim, the Briskerov, they all have a different tradition, much different. They say, even if you're right, you're wrong. Even if you could prove to me through archaeology, science, technology, and you could prove to me 100% that this is the chilazon, you still can't wear it. Why? Because we have a, because once we lost the, we haven't worn tcheles for 1,000 years. So the Brisker opinion is, to bring back a tradition, it's not enough just to bring proof. You have to have a Mesorah. We have to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi. We got to wait for Moshe. We got to bring back a tradition. You can't just bring it back on scientific evidence. You need a Mesorah. You need a Jewish. And therefore, they say, even if you're right, you're wrong. So it doesn't make a difference to us. I'd love to wear tcheles, but I can't, because once we lost the Mesorah, so we can't get it back until Mashiach comes. That's why, perhaps, why Eliyahu HaNavi will come before the Mashiach, in order that he has to, we have to find out what the Mesorah is. But either way, so that's the second version of the, so it's two, it's a fundamental difference. The practical difference would be, is the Murex trunculus. According to version number one, so maybe the Beis Halevi would say it's okay, because it's a new finding. And then if you have a new finding, and it seems to fit a lot of the criteria, then he'd say yes. But according to the second version, it wouldn't make a difference what it is. It's not. It's going to be a no-go. So they asked Rav Elyashav, who was one of the great rabbis in Israel, passed away, I guess, I don't know, about 10 years ago, maybe less, I'm not sure, maybe more. So they asked him, which version do you think is correct? So he had a close student, Raphael Cohen, the Badei HaShulchan, who wrote him a correspondence, and he said, I think version number one is correct, that if you could prove through archaeology, technology, science, that it is the Tcheles, then I'm all in. That's okay. We can accept it. Albeit, but then when they asked him, so what do you think about the Murex trunculus, he was very hesitant to say that was it. He said, the Radzina Rebbe thought his tcheles was tcheles. Rav Herzog thought his tcheles was tcheles. So to here, I'm not convinced that 10 years from now, someone might come along and say it's not. So he was a little, it was more of a polemic than answering the question. And according to Rav Schechter, who is pro-tcheles, he wears the tcheles, he claims a different version. In other words, he claims that Rav Elyashav really believed it was the Tcheles, but he couldn't say it for different. Why couldn't he say it was? Because this is the version that the Tcheles people went to Rav Elyashav and showed him. They went through the whole show. They gave him the whole shiur on why they think this is the Tcheles. So Rav Elyashav says, "Okay, it looks good. Let me ask you a question. Let's say I came out tomorrow and said this is the Tcheles. Would you have enough tcheles for 100,000 charedim?" And he said, "Of course not." And what would happen to the price? Good old supply and demand. The price would hit the roof. So he said, imagine these charedim, they can't even put food on the table. They have 10 kids. If I announce tomorrow everyone should wear the tcheles, they'll take the money and buy tcheles. and the kids will be starving. So there's no way I could come out. Really, I think it's the Techeles, but I can't come out and say it is. That's, of course, that's the Techeles people's version. And Rav Shach, obviously, the other side will say that's not the version, that he said he really thinks you shouldn't be wearing it. The bottom line, he didn't wear it. One could conjecture on either side why he didn't wear it, but he did say in theory that we could wear it because he says we can bring back a tradition based on other evidence besides a Masorah. So that was the fundamental debate. So even though Rav Shechter usually follows his Rebbe, the Rav Soloveitchik, but he felt in this area he disagreed. He said you don't need a Masorah to bring back the Techeles. If you could prove through archaeologically, technology, science, and so as long as you could prove it, that's all I need to know. And of course, as Rav Shechter said, you don't need to be 100%. So let's assume you can't prove it 100%. So let's assume there's a suffix. Let's even go. I've heard some people claim, I hear it's 99%. Others claim it's 0%. So let's go halfway. Let's assume it's 50%. Let's assume there's a 50% chance that this blue thread from the Murex trunculus is the Techeles. So Rav Shechter says, not just Rav Shechter, but the proponents of Techeles say, well, we have a general, let's go to the principles of Halacha. What does Halacha say? A doubt regarding a biblical law was strict on. A doubt regarding a rabbinic law was lenient on. And last I checked, tzitzis is a biblical mitzvah. So, okay, so there's no harm in wearing Techeles, even because the Gemara says, let's say you're wearing fake Techeles. You don't get the mitzvah of Techeles, but you still get the mitzvah of tzitzis. It doesn't infringe on your mitzvah, even if these booth rings aren't Techeles, you don't lose by, you still get the mitzvah. You shouldn't do it if you know it's not it, but if you think it might be it, so then you do it. So why don't we apply the general rule of Suffolk Daraisa Lechumra? Okay, good, I can't prove it, but there's enough of a doubt that it's it, and there's no harm in wearing it, so what's the problem? So that's what Rav Shlomo Miller, who is a Talmud from Lakewood, but he resides in Toronto, Canada these days. He's the posek of Toronto for many people. So he writes, no, we don't apply the principle of Suffolk Daraisa Lechumra today, on Techeles. Why not? He says, when do we apply the principle a doubt regarding a biblical law was strict on? Let's say, for instance, I'm not sure if I benched. Benching's biblical. Okay, so now I'll bench again. So when do we say Suffolk Daraisa Lechumra? If I know the second time I do it, I will definitely fulfill the mitzvah. In other words, I was in doubt, now I bench, now I know I did it. So, Suffolk Daraisa Lechumra. But if you're going to do the mitzvah a second time and a third time, and you're still remaining in doubt, so what's Suffolk Daraisa? We don't apply Suffolk Daraisa. So, he's saying, putting on Techeles a second time, it's not going to help because it's the same Suffolk after the fact. So, he claims, that's what Rav Chaim writes, that we don't apply the principle of Suffolk Daraisa Lechumra if after you do it, you're still in the same suffix as before. Rav Shechter says, I agree Rav Chaim says that, but we don't paskin that way. Other Rishonim disagree. How do I know other Rishonim disagree? But I'll give you the case. Duran writes, by Sukkos, we assume today that only the first day is biblical for shaking the Dalet Minim, the Lulav and the Esrog. But the second day and the rest of Sukkot is Midrabanan, Zechel Mikdash. So let me ask you something. Let's say it's the first day of Sukkot, and you don't have access to a Lulav and Esrog. And then at Ben HaShemasho, it's between sunset and nightfall, between the first and second day, which is Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila, twilight, someone comes and gives you a Dalet Minim. And remember, the mitzvah is only during the day, not at night. So, and twilight is doubtful day, doubtful night. So, is there any inyan of shaking the Dalet Minim or not? So, the Ran writes, yes. You don't make a bracha, perhaps, but you should shake the four species at Ben HaShemashos. So, we see, even though, I don't know if I got the mitzvah, maybe it really is nighttime, and I want, but we still say Suffolk Daraisa L'chumra, even though I don't know if I actually got the mitzvah or not. So we see, so even though I don't know it's a techeles, but nevertheless, I still should wear it just in case. Rav Shlomo Miller would answer back and say, it's different, that case. That case is you did everything you could do. All I could do at Ben HaShemashah's at twilight was to shake the four species. You're right, I don't know the result, but I did everything I can. But it comes to the Tcheles, you could go out today and keep on looking, according to him, because we haven't found it. So either way, that's one issue. Do we say, do we apply the principle of a doubt by a biblical law? Even if it's only 50% sure it's it, do I say I should wear it? So we have two reasons. So we have one reason not to wear it is because you need a tradition. If you're in that school of thought, game over. But let's assume not like that way. So then some say you should wear it because it's Suffolk Daraisa L'chumra, but others say we don't apply the principle. Rav Shlomo Miller probably has the strongest attack against the proponents of Tcheles. He says like this. We have in the Torah, we're going to be reading it in Dvarim, the book of Dvarim, we have a mitzvah, I should say, in Aveira, of Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra, which means we have 613 mitzvahs. There's a biblical prohibition to make it 614. I'm not allowed to add. You might think the more the merrier. No. God gave us 613. That's it. And so too, I can't make it 612. I don't like this one. It's too hard. Let's get rid of this. You know, let me get rid of these 10 mitzvahs I don't like. Let's make it, you can't do that either. So you have to keep the 613. You can't add and you can't diminish. So they point out, so Rav Shlomo Miller says as follows. We have a halacha that, if someone doesn't do a mitzvah, so they nullify a mitzvah. Let's say I didn't shake the lulav, I didn't put on the tefillin. But the Beis HaLevi points out, let's say karbanos. There's a mitzvah, you have to do zrikas hadam, you gotta put blood on all four corners of the altar. But the halacha is sometimes if you only put it on one, you still get the mitzvah, but you don't get the mitzvah in its proper time. So Rav Shlomo Miller points out, he says a different point, he says that since there's a major debate, how many threads, let's say we have eight strings, four that becomes eight. Yes. So he says, how many have to be blue? And how many have to, that's a major debate. Some say, one, two, four. There's a whole debate among the commentators. So he claims the debate was never solidified. We don't know how we paskin. We don't know how we conclude in that case. And he's assuming we can't conclude on our own today. So he says, according to me, that it's not techeles, it's no problem. But according to you, if you really think you found the right techeles, so let's say you put two on, but really it should be one. You're violating Baal Tosef. Let's say it should be two, and it's only one, you're violating Baal Tigra. So he claims, according to me, ironically, you could put on Tcheles no harm. But according to you, you might violate a biblical prohibition. So of course, Rav Schachter would disagree and say, what do you mean we don't know how to paskin? Is we take out the Gemara? How do we paskin any Shaili? You take out the Gemara, you learn the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch, and he claims we do paskin on that case. We have two threads. He says it is, we know exactly how many tcheles we should have, and he says, what do you mean? That's no taina. We know exactly what it is, and like any other Shaili, you paskin the Shaili. So he says, I'm not worried. And then he goes on to say the reverse. He says, according to Rav Shlomo Miller, if you believe it's a tcheles and you put them on, you have problems. According to Rav Schachter, better not to wear tzitzis at all than not to wear tzitzis with tcheles today. Since he thinks today we know what the tcheles is, so therefore it's better not to wear, why? Because as I was saying before, that but that he's saying, because since the halacha is that really the ideal way of doing, the ideal way of fulfilling tzitzis is to wear the white and the blue together. But today, you know, let's say before we found tcheles, so therefore what could you do? What, you still get the mitzvah. So Rav Shechter claims that today, since we know, we have at least a doubtful tcheles, he thinks it's it, but we have at least a suffix, a doubtful tcheles, and he's saying, so what happens if you do the mitzvah of tzitzis with the white without doing the mitzvah of the blue? So then you violate Baal Tigra. You're doing a mitzvah, you're diminishing the mitzvah. You have a chance to do the mitzvah in its full stage, and you go ahead, you're only doing it partially. That's Baal Tigra. That's a, so according to Rav Shechter, better not to wear tzitzis at all. Because why? Because since you don't have to wear tzitzis, the luck is, it's only if you're wearing a four-cornered garment, then you become obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis. So he says, up until we had tcheles, so we have the principle of ase doche lo sase. The Beis Halevi said it was about tikra, but what could you do? We have no choice. The mitzvah we want to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis overrides the prohibition of diminishing about tigra. But today that we have the tcheles, then there's no ase doche lo. Put on this tcheles. So therefore, I'm not saying that's an accepted opinion, but that's Rav Shechter's opinion. So we have both ends. We have one person, so you got to take a stand. If you do wear, you have problems. If you don't wear, you have problems. So, and then many want to say that maybe since other generations didn't wear, so it looks like we're holier than them. But Rav Shechter says, what do you mean? That you do when you're talking about astringency. If you could fulfill a biblical mitzvah, you don't worry about what other... I'm embarrassed sitting in the sukkah. I don't think I'm going to sit in the sukkah. That's not the way it works. If there's an extra chumrah that no one does, you don't have to show off. But to do a basic mitzvah, doesn't make a difference if you're embarrassed or not. If you're embarrassed to put on tefillin, that's your problem. We don't say, well, if you're embarrassed to put on tefillin, don't put them on. You know, of course, if you're putting them on and someone's going to kill you if you do, then your life takes precedence. But I'm just saying, in a case where there'll be no harm, you're just embarrassed, and that's not a reason. So therefore, it comes out either, if you believe, some say you need a tradition to bring back the tcheles that was lost. Others say no, as Henry knows, that we have a lot of archaeological digs that show it's the tcheles, and therefore they say, if we could prove it from science, then we're all in. And I'll say there's a minority people who wear tcheles, but I say the group is growing and growing. It's more and more. And more and more people, you know, and there are some people who think it's the right one, but for other reasons, it's not accepted in their circles. Like some great rabbis, they only wore it underneath the shirts, the talis katan, because they didn't want other people, they didn't want to go against, I don't want to call it political things or... The custom in the Haredi world was not, people had their own cheshbonas, whether they're good or not, it's not for me. They're gedolim, they can make their own cheshbonas, what they think is a good cheshbon or not. But based on, so if you don't think it's it, it's not, if you don't think, you don't like the findings, let's say you have proof to say it's not, so there are those who say they don't think it's tcheles. So obviously if you don't think it's a tcheles, it doesn't get off the ground. Or secondly, if you think you need a mesorah to reintroduce it, it doesn't get off the ground. So therefore, if you hold from those two, of course you're not going to wear tcheles. But let's say you're in the 50%. Yeah, most people, I'd say, they have some doubt about it. We'll call it a 50-50. So then, even if it's a doubt, so then it's a question whether you say a doubt regarding a biblical law was strict on, or do we say that that it's about tigra v'altosif. Others point out that since the tcheles was hidden, so therefore it's a sign from heaven. He doesn't want us to bring it back until the Mashiach comes. People bring different agadas. I'll conclude with a divrei makshava. I read this Shabbos. Rabbi Dr. Lamb had his yortzeit, his first yortzeit a couple weeks ago. But this every year they print up in the YU publication, usually one of Rabbi Lamb's sermons from years ago. I always love reading, you know, he's writing in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know. So this is from 1967. This is from June. It's right after, not long after we got Yerushalayim back. Because I think we got back, it was June 6th or 7th. This is written June 27th or something. So he writes about the Tcheles. He says, what's pshat in the Tcheles? You know, this is Divrei Machshava. He writes that Tcheles is the real blue string. So the Gemara talks about, there was something called Kala Ilan. That was a imitation indigo. That, because Tcheles is very expensive. It cost a lot of money. So you always have these crooks. They say, oh yeah, you want to buy Tcheles? I'll give you, you know, those Rolex watches you buy on the streets in New York for $10. You know, that's the Kala Ilan. Unless, of course, they're really stolen, and maybe they're the real ones. But either way, so the Kala Ilan, so people used to sell the fake Tcheles, and the rabbis have strong words against those who claim they have the real Tcheles, but it's really Kala Ilan. So what does that mean, b'machshava? So Rabbi Lamb's talking in 1967, so I guess two things was on his mind. In 1967, the church came out, they woke up and said, you know what? Let's internationalize Jerusalem. I'm not going to go into it because that's the whole Christian doctrine. If the Jews come back to Israel, it's a question on them. I'm not going to give up salvation. He used to speak about it all the time. So it's not good for that theology if the Jews get back to Jerusalem. So they say let's internationalize the city. But they claim, like, we're so concerned about the holy shrines, let's make. So, of course, so that's the case where they're using, they're making believe it's Tcheles, but it's really Kala Ilan. From 48 to 67, when there wasn't an Israeli flag high on Yerushalayim, they didn't seem to care about the shrines. They didn't seem to care about all the people killed during the Holocaust. That they didn't care about. But all of a sudden, when it's against their Shita, they wake up and they claim, many people are claiming they have the Tcheles, but really they're a bunch of phony. They're using imitation and claiming it's authentic. Or another example he gave, I'm just quoting his examples, I think the ambassador of France came out and said, we've never had anti-Semitism in France. And of course, Rabbi Glam went through the whole history of France where there is full of anti-Semitism. Again, they're claiming the concern for Jews. They're claiming Tcheles, but it's really Kala Ilan. Many people use the made-up artificial stuff, and they claim they're sincere. That's what Chazal are telling us for Tcheles. Don't put Kala Ilan and say it's Tcheles. That's what he said. And then he said, but the reverse is also true. When you have Tcheles, don't make it Kala Ilan. What do you mean? He says, and he's talking 1967 to his balabatim in the west side of Manhattan. Not haredim here, he's talking to his balabatim. He's saying, many people, when they go out, they have to go on a business deal. So they have to go to a restaurant. So when they say, you know what, I'm vegetarian, I really can't eat this. Just say you're kosher, I'm Jewish, I'm kosher, I don't eat in this restaurant. Don't claim I'm vegetarian. If you have the real Tcheles, why are you hiding under Kala Ilan? Or Friday night, I can't come over because it's family time. No, call it Shabbos. Don't turn Shabbos into family time. Shabbos is family time, but don't turn Tcheles into Kala Ilan. And why do you send your kids to these Jewish day schools? Well, the classes are smaller. I think it's just say you want to teach your kids Torah education. Don't change, don't, if you have Tcheles, don't turn it into Kala Ilan. And that's what this, to conclude with something I heard from, who's the rabbi in Berlin? What's his name? From Hamilton? Rabbi Spinner. Josh Spinner. Josh Spinner he told over once, I guess he's supported by his foundation in Europe, or most of Europe is, by Estee Lauder. That's a big cosmetic company. And he's Jewish. So, but he's not observant in his personal life. He's very Jewish, but he's not observant. So someone once asked him, how come you only support traditional Orthodox organizations? You yourself are an observant. Why don't you give money to all Jewish causes? And he said, let me tell you something. I'm an investor. At least one thing I do okay on. He says, and I invest in art. And he says, you know what? The only art that retains its value is the original. All the imitations don't last long. So I'm only supporting the original. In other words, if you have Tcheles, don't go with the Kala Elon. And that's the message of the Tcheles here, don't make believe you have Tcheles. If you have Kala Elon, don't turn the artificial into the real one. And conversely, if you have Tcheles, don't turn it into Kala Elon.
Thank you.